CBC World Cup analyst Nigel Reed joins us. Nigel, how are you?
I'm good, Jason. How are you doing?
I am doing excellent, man. I'm pumped for this tournament. It's always exciting. Before we go into pool by pool, do you have an upset special in your mind as far as maybe one team moving on to the second round?
Well, you know what, Jason? There's plenty of people are saying that England have got no chance of getting to the round of 16. So if you're looking for an upset, in inverted commas, perhaps they might just have a chance if they can put the ball in the net and play some sensible soccer. But, you know, there are always dark horses at the World Cup. And I think one of the ones we're looking at this time round, which we haven't looked at for many years, is Belgium, who have got a bit of a golden generation going. So watch out for the Belgians at the 2014 World Cup. They may surprise a lot of people.
All right. What is it about them specifically you like?
Well, as I say, they've got this group of players who've come together. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. The Belgium Association, the Federation, went back to basics 10 or 15 years ago and didn't exactly reinvent the wheel, but they certainly reinvented the way they went about the development of their players. And now they have a group of very good players, a lot of them playing at high-profile clubs in the English Premiership, led by the likes of Eden Hazard. And they are exceptionally good from a technical point of view. They breeze through their qualifying group. But what we don't know about Belgium is how they will perform in a South American World Cup. You know, it's the proof of the pudding, as they say, is in the eating. And it's not yet certain, but on paper, and this game is never played on paper, the Belgians certainly have a very good look about them.
Nigel Reed joins us. Nigel, when you look at the history of the World Cup, is there a distinct difference when it's played in South America compared to European soil?
Well, there always has been, but this is the first World Cup in South Africa for a long, long time. The last one was back in the late 70s, and the game has changed a lot since then. It's a lot faster. It's a lot more athletic. The manufacture of the ball has changed as well. So a lot of people are putting a lot of store in the fact that a European team has never won a South American World Cup, and that is very true. But then there's a lot of people in the know, the players, a lot of the coaches saying the world of soccer is a smaller place now. Most of the Brazilians, most of the Argentinians, most of their top stars play for European clubs for 9 months of the year. So, of course, it is a South American winter. So depending on where you're playing, and the weather could be a factor here, because Brazil is a huge country. You're going to be playing up in the Amazonian rainforest in the north of the country. So even though it's a South American winter, the temperatures are going to be up in the 30 degrees, high humidity. Down in the south in Porto Alegre, you could be playing in single-digit temperatures. So again, it's kind of the luck of the draw in terms of which group you ended up in and how much traveling you have to do with those group games to try and get to the knockout stages themselves.
Nigel Reed joins us. Nigel, do you like just the random draw for the groups? Is that the best way to go?
Well, it wasn't quite a random draw, yeah. But we have 8 seeds. And then, of course, FIFA has always tried to keep the geographical neighbours apart, so you won't see more than one South American team in any of the 8 groups. With Europe, there are 13 European teams. There are only 8 groups. So clearly there are some groups with more than one European team in. But the way the actual draw worked out, we've got some really tasty opening round matchups. We're looking at, for example, Spain against the Netherlands, which is a complete rerun of the 2010 final. And the luck of the draw has lumped them together in Group B. And that's the very first match in Group B, Spain and the Netherlands, back to 2010 in Johannesburg, the two teams that contested the final then. They get another go at it then. So can the Netherlands get revenge for that World Cup heartbreak 4 years ago? We'll wait and see.
No country has ever won 4 consecutive major tournaments. Spain has an opportunity to do that. Many think that maybe they're a little bit too long in the tooth. Nigel, what do you think about their chances?
If Spain can pull it off, you know, Jason, they are without question the greatest international team of all time. Enough said as far as that's concerned. I'm not sure they can do it, only because history says they can't do it. But they have the experience. They have a lot of the players who were there in 2010, Iniesta and Xavi and Xabi Alonso and Pedro and the list goes on and on. And we know, the world knows how Spain plays the game. They'll keep the ball, they'll frustrate you, they'll try and score the perfect goal, they'll be patient. Same coach, Vicente del Bosque. There's an X factor as far as Spain is concerned this time round. They have a striker, and generally Spain doesn't really play with a traditional centre-forward, a striker. Now they have a guy by the name of Diego Costa, who, by the way, is Brazilian-born, but has spent the last 5-6 years in Spain, and the Spanish gave him citizenship last year. So he could be, and some feel should be, representing Brazil at a Brazilian World Cup. But he said, no, Spain's given me everything in this game, so I'm going to play for Spain. So watch out for Diego Costa. He's rehabbing from an injury, but if he's fully fit, he could be a big difference and a fresh face and new ideas and a different route to goal for the Spanish in Brazil.
How much pressure does Messi have to lead Argentina? You know, it seems like a lot of people have him as one of the best players in the game, without a doubt. But you know what? If you don't lead your team to World Cup, there seems to be a little bit of an asterisk. I'm not sure if that's fair or not. But do you sense that this is his time and maybe his tournament where he's got to really lead that team?
There's no question that this is Messi's time and this is his tournament. If Messi is ever to be part of a conversation about the greatest footballers that ever lived, along with Pelé and Maradona, then he has to win at least one World Cup. He's 26 now. In 4 years' time, he'll be getting a little long in the tooth. If it's ever going to happen for Messi, and yes, he is the greatest individual player of his generation, in my opinion, but if he's ever going to be in that conversation about who was the greatest to play this game, he's got to win the World Cup. And Argentina, I think, are a definite possibility for a semi-final place. When you get that deep in the tournament, Jason, it's knockout soccer. Anything can happen.
What are you hearing about Cristiano Ronaldo? Is he healthy enough to play?
I think he's getting there. I think they've had some significance, and I think they've had some real doubts about his fitness. He has some tendonitis in his knee. He's had a leg muscle injury as well. I'm hearing he's back in training, and it's amazing. You know, the powers of healing when it comes to real competitive matches. It's the World Cup. It's once every 4 years. That'll get him healthy. He'll be fine.
You mentioned Messi. What do you like about Messi's game compared to Ronaldo's?
For me, Messi is a more complete player. And for me, you know, it's also a humility thing. He's not the sort of player that you see necessarily on magazine covers. And there are those players who are, and Ronaldo is one of them. I think for me, Messi is just a more complete player. He's a much smaller player. Physically, a lower center of gravity. He contributes more to the team, but he has a very good team around him. So, Messi and Ronaldo, there's not much between them. They're both fabulous soccer players, almost uniquely gifted in their own generation, which is why over the last few years they've, you know, bounced around the World Player of the Year, basically between them over the last 5 or 6 years. For me, Messi is the one who has just that little bit more. And for me, he's got a little bit more humility. And in my opinion, that makes a bit of a difference.
Nigel Reid joins us, CBC analyst, as we are breaking down the World Cup. Group G, Germany, Portugal, Ghana, and the U.S. Of course, Germany hasn't won the World Cup since 1990. Of course, Ronaldo's in Portugal. They wonder, how much can that magnificent seven take them? And then Ghana, a lot of people thought maybe should have even been in the semifinals of the last World Cup. Who do you like in this pool?
Well, Germany have got to win it. There's no question. If Germany doesn't win this group, then there's something very wrong with the Germans, who are perennial contenders at the World Cup, and they're one of my final four. Who knows what happens after that? Now, if Germany, and we expect them to win this group, do as we think, I'm not sure it's necessarily then Portugal second just because of Ronaldo. Because when you look beyond Cristiano Ronaldo, yes, Portugal has talent, but they rely so heavily on Ronaldo that if you double or triple team him, yes, that leaves spaces in another part of the field. but it basically shuts down a lot of the creativity that Portugal has. Not too many people thinking too much about Ghana and the US. We all remember, of course, they met in that epic round of 16 game in 2010. They also met in 2006 as well. So the Americans have plenty to prove. And since 2010, the Americans have improved again. They're in the same group as Germany, and they have Jürgen Klinsmann, the German, as coach, who used to be Joachim Löw's boss when he was in charge of the German team. So, you know, a lot of talk about the fact that they left Landon Donovan at home, but, you know, I'm looking to players like Clint Dempsey and Toronto FC's Michael Bradley. Those are the leaders on that team, and I think a lot of people will be surprised by how good the US is now. There's no doubt they're the number one team in North America. They've taken over from Mexico after many years of trying. I think the US will be competitive in this group. And I think at its best, the US has a shot of getting to the round of 16.
And one last one for you, and really kind of a Cinderella story, the Bosnia-Herzegovina qualification, right? Less than 20 years after they gained independence following that awful war. And a lot of people feel they're not a pushover. If they get out of their pool and finish second, I'm pretty sure then they have to take on France most likely. Do you think they can win out of their pool?
Oh, I think they're definitely capable of getting out of that pool. You're right. It's the first time as a World Cup as Bosnia-Herzegovina, which came out of the war, as you say, the former Yugoslavia, which was always a very technically proficient team back in the 60s and 70s. And the Bosnian players are just as good as their forebears. So Bosnia-Herzegovina, watch for them. They've got some very good players. Spajic is the captain. There's Pjanic, the midfielder. And then, of course, they've got Edin Dzeko, who plays for Manchester City. Big, tall, old-fashioned centre-forward, will score goals for you, will be a nuisance to defenders. And let's not forget, in goal for Bosnia is Asmir Begovic, former Canadian international, who, when it came to the senior game, decided to represent the country of his birth. And so we'll watch out for Begovic at the World Cup. He's a very, very good goalkeeper.
Nigel, who's your pick to win?
Got to be Brazil. If Brazil doesn't win in 2014 in its own country, it'll be another national disaster like it was in 1950 when they built the Maracanã for a Brazilian win and they lost the final game to neighbors Uruguay. And it took decades for the adoring millions to get over that heartbreak. Some of them have never gotten over it. So 2014, Brazil has to win and be the star of its own World Cup.
Nigel, I appreciate this. We'll talk to you throughout the World Cup. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Have a good day, Jason.